What's going on, everybody? Today, I had the pleasure to chat with American folk Americana band, The Wildwoods. In this news episode, the group talks about their newest album, Foxfield St. John, how the band formed, summer tour, favorite thing to do alone, something that they were told that they'll never forget, a chance that they were glad they took, and more. Now, with that being said, hope you enjoy my conversation with The Wildwoods. Hey, hello, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I mean, I'm doing really well. I mean, you guys seem very energetic, even though you guys have been on a pretty lengthy tour right now. What are you feeling right now?
Happiness because we get to see you again. When was the last time we spoke? It's been
I think the last time we spoke was in December, I think.
Oh wow, okay. Very
December
good.
December of last year.
Well, thanks for having us back. You know, I think we're all kind of feeling not exhausted. Maybe exhausted. But I think more of like
I'm feeling like a calm before the storm a little bit. Not to cut you off.
That's exactly what I was trying to say, you know, because we're home right now. We're back in Lincoln right now. We just got back from doing about 2 months on the road throughout March and April. And we're home for just a few weeks and we'll be leaving again in June, and our tour schedule's very packed from June all the way going into September. I think we only have a few days or a couple of weeks here and there where we're going to be back home in Lincoln. So it's going to be a pretty busy summer, but we're happy to be home right now, working on some new music, doing a lot of practicing.
It just seems like you guys are keeping that as a priority, as to keeping yourselves busy, and in times where I guess it feels sometimes chaotic, where you're kind of like moving and going and on a pretty like 24-hour basis, because you're moving from city to city to state to state, and it's kind of like this whole whirlwind of like, how are we going to get there? Do we have everything packed up, ready to go? Is there something that we're missing? I mean, are those thoughts ever running through your guys' minds when you're like on the go every time, and you guys don't really get the chance to really settle down and really realize everything that you've done?
I think it, for me at least, it feels pretty go-go all the time, even when we're at home, because we're still working on stuff constantly, even when we're not playing gigs, in order to make those gigs happen. So it's like, I feel like a lot of people don't realize how much energy and time really does go into that one single gig that we make it to. And it's just, I don't know, it's always thinking about everything all the time. And if we don't, then I feel like we're falling behind a little bit.
But you know, it's all very much worth it. You know,
yeah.
we always have a great time doing it. We love you know,
I think taking the time to talk to people at shows and the audience members and getting to know people, even for the short amount of time that we can, every city that we go to, that helps a little bit with kind of being in the moment and staying present rather than just thinking about, okay, what's the next thing we have to do?
Mm-hmm. And getting to see new places and you know, there's just many aspects that make it enjoyable, which I think kind of overpowers the chaotic nature of touring
at times,
and the stress of touring at times, you know.
There was one instance back in March where I think we were about two or something weeks into our tour there, and it did feel a lot of just kind of, you know, drive to the city we're playing in, play the show, go to bed, wake up, do the drive the next day, and it was just kind of a constant go. And as we were driving to, I forget where in Virginia, we saw like a road sign for DC, and we thought, heck, let's just stop for a couple hours, even if it's just for a little bit, and walk around and not have like an agenda or, you know, something we have to do right now at this moment, and just kind of enjoy being halfway across the country. And so that was pretty nice.
Yeah, it's easy to get like stuck in the mindset of work, I guess, you know. We're kind of like, okay, these are the things that have to happen right now, these are, this, you know, this is the time we have to leave, you know, this is what we have to do, you know, kind of an agenda for, I guess, each show or just what we plan to do for the day. It's easy to get stuck in that mindset. So, you know, we kind of have to help each other, you know, relax sometimes or just do things that are not related to playing the shows, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
No, I totally get that. And I mean, Chloe and Andrew, there's something that I guess both of you said on two different levels that I guess are pretty similar in basis, because Andrew, you talked about like the importance of, I guess, like finding the time where you guys can at least like tour around different places that you tour in. And then Chloe, you talked about how like there's always that feeling of being on the go every time, but also you have that moment where you kind of like fall behind on different things. I want to ask that question based on that answer. I mean, when there is those moments of, I guess, chaos and you kind of like feel like you're falling behind, what is something kind of like you do to try and keep yourself ahead of the schedule rather than behind it?
Well, I think to-do lists are a big thing for all of us, and just sticking to the list and just having one person say, okay, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do, and then just ensuring that I can trust that it'll get done if I'm giving people jobs. It's kind of like having a boss at work, I guess. One person has to say, okay, this is what has to be done, and this is what we need to get done this week, and most of the time it works, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. I don't know. We just do the best we can overall.
Absolutely. I mean, when it comes to everything that has been happening for you guys over, I guess, a couple months now, touring all over the place, is there one specific place that you guys kind of like all can agree on that has been your favorite place you've toured so far?
Gosh. Between Wilmington and Tybee Island, Wilmington, North Carolina, and Tybee Island, Georgia.
Yeah, I think North Carolina kind of as a whole has been one of our favorite places to tour in.
I really like Pennsylvania. It was the first time we went there on this past tour. And Minnesota was really great too. We came back from a tour.
Yeah, we did like 2 weeks in Minnesota, which we rarely spend that much time touring in throughout one state. But gosh, just all the shows were just really, really fun, really fantastic. And it was just great to see how many people came out to, and we had a handful of sold out shows up there, which, you know, Minnesota's very close to Nebraska. So it didn't really make a lot of sense that we'd never toured up there before. This was our first tour in Minnesota, and it just kind of very much surprised us, I guess, when we were there. But yeah, North Carolina, I think for me is probably my favorite state that we've toured in.
Absolutely. Were there, and the last time we spoke also, I asked you guys about the I guess the top eateries, I guess, that you guys were to go in Nebraska. But now I want to switch it up. I want to ask you if there was any restaurants that you would suggest you've already been touring in, or I guess the places you tour in, are there any eateries that you kind of are now a go-to place for you guys?
Eateries?
Applebee's.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's like a lot of the venues will provide us with food. If the venue serves food, but,
also, when we get done with gigs, it's usually really late, and we tend to not eat until we're done playing. So when the venues don't provide meals, like, we have to just search for what's open, and usually that's Applebee's.
I burp too much if we eat before the show. I'll burp throughout the show. Terrible. I don't
want to be doing There's that. This really delicious breakfast place, though, in Tybee Island called the Breakfast Club that I don't think Andy's ever been to with us, but... And we didn't go on this last tour, but it's a really good, really good spot.
Have you watched The Breakfast Club yet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was just the one, I guess, similarity between Victorious and The Breakfast Club, because there was an episode with Victorious where they did something called The Breakfast Club. I think that was the episode name. And basically, it was basically like a Saturday morning where they would come into school because they would all be in detention kind of thing. And so they would just run around the different places. They would also like grab food as well. And then they would play that song that you hear in Breakfast Club. Don't you forget about me. That was a song out of it. I don't know, but I think Breakfast Club was interesting, at least to me. I don't necessarily, would I watch it again? Not really. I mean, if there was any, I guess, movies or TV shows that you guys are like watching, what is something you're currently, I guess, currently streaming?
Well, to kind of build off of what you just said about the Breakfast Club, A, I do remember that episode of Victorious. You know, that was like the golden era of Nickelodeon, I think, when we had Victorious and iCarly, Drake and Josh, shows like that, phenomenal. But no, you know, Breakfast Club and any kind of John Hughes movie. That's a John Hughes movie, right?
I think so.
I'm gonna be really embarrassed if it's not, but you know, those are good films to watch,
I'm pretty
you
sure it
know,
is.
to step back in time, I guess. I feel like I have certain movies or like directors where if I want to step back into a certain era, you know,
Yeah, it
I'll
is.
watch their movies.
Nice.
But in terms of watching right now.
I don't really watch a lot of things.
I've been watching that on Disney Plus, Star Wars Visions, where they reach out to a bunch of different animation companies around the world and have them make like a short 15 to 20 minute episode. That's like based in the Star Wars universe. So it's not necessarily canon or like it doesn't always have pre-existing characters, but it's just like these short stories that they have these animators make. And it's been really cool just to see the vast difference between each episode and style. And this is the second season they've done of that. Or I think the first season it was just animation companies in Japan. And then this season, it's animation companies all over, and oh, it's fantastic. Beautiful, beautiful art.
Absolutely. I think, what am I watching right now? I think there's been a lot of things that I've recently been watching. I think the recent movie that I've watched was Elvis. Austin Butler's version of Elvis. And when I went in to see it, I went in with no expectations. And I think like that's the best thing to do when you're watching a movie, is to go in without expecting anything. Because if you go in expecting that it's going to be like really bad, and then you're going to expect it to be really bad. You know, it's I don't know. Some people, I feel, I don't understand some people when they go into movie theaters and they watch a movie, but then they already have that prejudgment in their head that it's going to be bad. So when you come out of the movie theater, you think it's bad, right? Like it's not like anything that like you can say about it. I mean, like, I guess there are people who are entitled to their own opinions, but I think that like if you go into it expecting nothing out of it, then you may surprise yourself and you may surprise other people about what you think of it. I mean, I think there's a lot of different things in the Elvis movie that really stuck out to me. I think the saddest part in the film, for people who aren't watching and want to spoil it, or are going to hear a spoiler here, I would probably say click out of this interview now if you are watching it, and if you haven't watched it, click out of this now. Yeah, the spoiler is that I think the saddest part of the film was when Austin kind of walks out of his jet airplane, and I think it was the Lisa Marie Presley airplane that Elvis owned, that he actually owns in real life. And so he actually takes off in it. But when he does it, they play this really Casey Musgraves Can't Help Falling in Love version. And it's Elvis saying goodbye to Priscilla, and her and his kid. And then he goes off, and that's the last time they see him alive, right? So
Jeez.
like that's the most like hardest part of it. But I
It's
think
heavy.
that like it is heavy because it's Elvis,
Oh yeah.
right? Like, the whole story of Elvis really captures everything, I guess, in essence. And so I really want to talk about, because we've been talking about shows here. I mean, there's got to be a lot of things that you've guys been playing, I guess, because you've already have released a new album called Foxfield St. John. So let's talk about that. There's a lot of great songs on an album. If there's one song that you've guys created off that album that really stuck out to you guys, what would that one song be?
I think
Yeah, it's like.
for me, my like the one that means the most, I guess, and sticks out the most out of the others would be 13 Sailboats. And I changed my mind back and forth on which one I like which song off the album I like the best. But that one was kind of the first one that set us off like actually finishing the album and recording it, because when we first went into the studio, it was we just went in for that one to record it as a single. And then kind of after that, Noah and I were like, okay, let's just make a whole album after this. And we just kept going with songs thereafter. And that was the song's kind of about like it was written on our first tour after we graduated college, and we were kind of like the in-between thoughts of like, is this what we're supposed to be doing? Like, maybe we should go get actual jobs and not just play music for a living. So it's kind of just like this back and forth that someone's going through in their mind, like, am I where I'm supposed to be? Kind of a thing. And that's how we were really feeling at the time.
I mean, Noah, is there one song for you off the album personally that you feel stuck out to you the most?
Oh gosh, all the songs are kind of tied to individual memories or like individual locations that we've visited in the past, and kind of wrote those songs about those places or like those experiences. And like Chloe said, I kind of go back and forth between which song kind of means the most to me, because I always feel like the most recent song that's written is always my favorite at the moment. And West Virginia Rain was kind of a last minute addition to the album. We finished the album, or what we thought was the album, and then I had written that song on our like August tour last year, and Chloe was just very adamant. She said, "I don't care what you say, we're recording that and putting that on the album." Because I was kind of being stubborn and wanted to save it for our next project that we recorded. But Chloe's the CEO, so we have to listen to her. So we went in and recorded that one, and I'm very glad that we did,
Oh
because
yeah.
that one was my favorite one on the album. But I kind
Well,
of.
and to come back full circle, that one was like the last one that we added to the album. The first song, 13 Sailboats, was about like wondering if you're where you're supposed to be. And then West Virginia Rain is kind of a song that's about open your eyes, like enjoy where you're at right now. So I think for me, that's why I was so adamant about putting it on the album, because I'm like, this is just going to round lyrically everything out perfectly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I want to ask about Noah, you talked about West Virginia Rain. I want to ask you about that song specifically, because there's some lyrics in that song that I guess really portray what Chloe was saying about having it be like an eye-opener thing, and the realization of, okay, I'm happy where I am, and I feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. And the lyrics in that song, there's this, "I see it in your eyes, you're all alone and terrified. Thought that leaving home would guide a little more into your life. Brother in distress, I think it's time you take a rest. So the bitterness has settled in your mind. How the hell did you let yourself become so blind? West Virginia rain, misty mountains calling out my name. West Virginia rain falling down to take away my pain." I mean, Noah, you talked about how you kind of like first started writing that song. Why was that, those lyrics, the first thing that came out of the song?
Well, I think the chorus words were first, right?
Yeah, those were kind of those two parts were kind of written kind of in the same little session. The bridge of that song was actually like a completely different song, but I just kind of stuck them together. But you know, I think when those parts were written, the thought came to mind. Well, we had just like finished a string of shows and ended a show on a really weird note in West Virginia. And we were staying at a campsite for a few days, and it was in West Virginia, and it was raining outside. And I sat down and just started working on that one. And I was just kind of feeling like, you know, I'm 25 now, and ever since I was 18, graduating high school, I was kind of always just wanting to move away out of Nebraska, just go somewhere else, live there, you know. Start fresh somewhere, I guess, with you know, Chloe and Andy now. But I was, you know, I was just kind of feeling like it was kind of one of the first times where I felt, oh, you know, I don't really feel like that's necessary. You know, Nebraska is my home. I love Nebraska. I love visiting other places, but after doing, you know, a bunch of touring, it just feels so good to come back home to Nebraska, where all of our family, all of our friends, you know, everything's extremely familiar. All three of us have lived here in Lincoln
Well,
our whole
I will
lives.
say Noah has always, since we've graduated, even when we were in college, has always begged me to move somewhere. And you were always very much, let's go somewhere, let's live outside of Nebraska for a little bit. And although I wasn't against that idea, I am very much a homebody and I like find comfort being close to my family. So it was always a really scary thought for me. And I was always like, no, maybe someday, but we can't do that now. And then when you were writing that song, it was like, I mean, like you didn't say the words to me, like it's okay that we stay in Nebraska, but just like I remember we actually finished the lyrics in Virginia, and when we sat down with that verse, I was like, oh, maybe Noah's like actually thinking these things in his mind, and it gave me like a little bit of comfort. But it was kind of like, I guess, yeah, like an eye-opening to yourself. Like, open your eyes. What you have right now is perfect and wonderful.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
Why?
absolutely. I want to read something about West Virginia rain that was written in an article. The song tells a story of trying to turn towards the simplest pleasures of life, hiding behind the pleasures as a way of masking and overcoming the difficult challenges being experienced within life. West Virginia rain contains a soundscape that is designed to replicate the elements of tranquility and rhythm with rainfall within rainfall, and combined with the melancholic feelings within the lyrics. The effect is a powerful, emotive work of musical art. I mean, and hearing the story behind that song, hearing the story behind the album, it really seems like, yeah, we're comfortable being here in Nebraska and having that sense of home, but also there must have been those emotive feelings where, like, there were times where you kind of had a second kind of heart, I guess, where you said, or you kind of like think in your head that, do we sense a move to another place rather than Nebraska? Because it just seems like this album kind of is like a two-parter, I guess, in terms of like there's a second guessing part, but there's also that comfort knowing that, okay, we're settled here in Nebraska, that's our home now. But there's also that part of me where I want to move and explore different places where we can settle down as well. Were there any of those parts or elements that went into that album as well?
I think that's just kind of, yeah, it's kind of just the general
Overall,
topic throughout,
I
yeah.
think you described it perfectly. There are two parts because there's songs where it's like enjoy where you're at, and then there's songs where there's obviously yearning for going somewhere else. Like the opening to the album Monterey Square was written about our love for Savannah, Georgia, and wanting to call that place home someday. And it just kind of goes back and forth through all of those emotions, I guess, involved with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if there was any other place, I guess, or I mean, you just spoke about Savannah, Georgia, but if there was anywhere else that you would, that you have on your list of future places where you would move to, where would that be?
Oh gosh. I think I've just come to the conclusion that I'm not a big city fella. I think that if I were to move anywhere, it would either be like out in a rural area or up in the mountains somewhere, whether it be the Rockies or the Blue Ridge Mountains. Yeah, I don't know. Somewhere pretty that doesn't have a lot of people. I love people, but you know, I like solitude a little bit better, you know, I guess. What about you?
Yeah. Definitely somewhere mountainous. I still have a lot of places I need to cross off the old bucket list. But the Pacific Northwest has been at the top of that bucket list for a while, and I feel like I would want to move up there if I visited, but remains to be seen. Seems to be a lot of place that a lot of Nebraska, Lincoln folk especially have gone up to, like around the Oregon, Washington area.
And that's an area that none of us have visited. So yeah, no. We're going to have to, you know, check that out. Maybe I'm speaking too soon.
Indeed.
For sure. And I mean, we haven't, I guess we didn't talk about this in the last interview that we did together, but can you talk about how the band first formed, I guess, because I don't think we touched on that in the other interview about how this whole thing started with you guys. How did this begin? Was there just a certain point where it just happened, like out of the blue, or what was that story?
Well, I will say it started with Noah and I, when we met when we were 14 and just going into high school. It was like the summer before high school. And we both discovered that we played music and we wanted to start a band together. I think it was, we made like a couple YouTube videos of songs that we covered and they were really terrible and bad, but we were like, we sound good. Let's do something with this. So we started a trio actually with my brother, and we bussed around like all the farmers markets and played in coffee shops and even some of the bars downtown, like all throughout high school. And then in high school and into college, we added other members to the band, like bass, drums, piano. We had a cellist play with us.
And we went to high school with Andy, which is how we met.
Yes, we met Andy in high school, but he didn't join the band until after we graduated high school.
Around like 2017, I think, right? So.
Yeah, so we had a different bass player before Andy came, and then kind of when Andy joined, I mean, we still had like a full lineup of like five or six band members rotating different people sometimes. And then in September, and we did that all throughout college. And then in September of this past year, we became a trio with just us. I guess sometime in between after we graduated college, Noah and I played mostly as just a duo.
It was kind of like when COVID started.
Yeah, I guess that's when we started doing that.
Yeah, it's when we kind of really started just focusing on working up tunes as a duo, just because, you know, people weren't being around each other. So we weren't seeing our bandmates very much. You know, of course we had no concerts because of everything being closed throughout COVID. So that's kind of when we started focusing on our music as a duo, right around 2020. But yeah, like Chloe said, back in September.
Yeah, it's also easier to tour full time with less people. And obviously Noah and I are always together anyway, and Andy's schedule thankfully allows for him to be on the road with us a lot. So it's just worked out really well so far.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, with the minutes remaining here on this meeting time, I guess I want to blow by this game that I have that I want to play with you guys, and it's called How Deep Will You Go? Level one is icebreakers. Level two is confessions. Level three is getting deep. And so... I mean, listen. I've had different challenging questions in the last interview. I thought I'd step it up and do something different this time around. So we're gonna go through this quickly. Level one is icebreakers. If there's one thing, I guess, one favorite thing that you'd want to do alone, what would that be?
Alone.
Can it be like a hobby that we have?
It can be a hobby, yeah. Anything that is a favorite thing that you'd want to do alone.
Okay, I love to take pictures. And I usually like doing that alone because I just like being outside in nature, kind of therapeutic. Yeah, and I just love making art through photos, even if it's just for myself.
Oh gosh, I would prefer to do everything alone, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
You like to make music,
I'm always
and
around
you
Chloe.
write songs, and I don't know, yours. You're always doing that.
I just like I guess I don't know, make music or draw or something. Being alone doing that.
My favorite thing to do alone is to cook something. And I like to cook with other people, but I'm always like a little anxious, like, oh, do they want cheese? Do they want this amount of cheese? Is this too much spice? Not enough spice? I'm always like, kind of have that in the back of my head, but I'm just cooking for myself. I know exactly what I like, and then I sit down, not at a table, but at the couch, and I open YouTube. I spend about a half an hour looking for just the perfect YouTube video to watch, and then there's my night right there.
That's the way to do it.
Absolutely. Level two is confessions. What is something you have been told that you will never forget?
Like something bad or something good,
I
something
mean,
scary.
whatever you feel could be significant that someone told you that you will never forget.
I was just talking to one of my students about this the other day. When I was in college, my guitar professor, he saw a solo that I had played, and I was feeling kind of good about it. And especially in college, when you're surrounded by a bunch of really high level jazz players, and jazz is, not like my main genre, like my strongest suit. And so I feel like I was trying to compensate by playing a lot of notes. And my guitar instructor, when I asked him, he was like, let's talk about your solo. And I'm like, oh yeah. And he's like, if I could take an eraser and get rid of about 50% of the notes that you played, it would have been a great solo. I was like, whoa, because I was just playing just like as many notes as I could possibly fit into a solo, and it was very eye-opening to where he kind of demonstrated just like these like much simpler lines that sounded much more melodic and a lot prettier, and you could like sing back if you wanted to, and so that very much stuck with me.
You got something?
Something that I'll never forget. Gosh, I think I'm having a tough time thinking of
Am
something.
too. We forget everything, I guess.
I think somebody told me when I was in college, I think, gosh, I don't know. I'm sorry, Jigme. I just like cannot think of anything anybody's ever told me in my entire life right now.
No problem. No problem. Well, we're gonna have to blow by this last one quickly before. I mean, if there was okay, quickly here, I guess we're gonna have to do this in very quick fashion. What is the chance that you are glad that you took?
Not getting a job after college.
I would agree with that.
I
Our dog
think
is going crazy.
there's a lot of people that, will say, use music or art as your plan B, or, take the safe route, do this instead of, being, instead of practicing the kind of art or the kind of thing that you, or starting your own business, you know, people say, you know, take the safe route, have that be, you know, a hobby or
your, I guess your plan. Yeah. B. For me, that would be something that someone told me also that I'll never forget. We were after a show one time I was talking to this man that was in the audience and he was very grumpy and he was like, so what are you doing with your life? Like asking what our plans are, because we were taking a break from school. And I said, we're taking a year off and just playing music full time. And he was like, oh, well, that'll never last. Go get a job. Like, and I was just like, how dense is that person? Like, they have no love for something so much that they would go after it like that. But
we took the chance and, you know, it's worked out much better than I think we ever thought. And, you know, when we tour, we have a lot of people. The kind of the main phrase I hear out of a lot of folks is that, gosh, if I could go back in time and be your age again, I would be doing exactly what you're doing, you know?
So absolutely. This thing is going to cut us off here, so I'm going to have to wrap it up here. Well, it's the end of our time together, but thank you so much for chatting with me. I had such a great time. You can also connect with the Wild Woods on our social media and also find them in all streaming, I guess, social media platforms as well. You can also find me on all social media platforms. I've been your host, Shigmi Kelt, saying thanks for tuning into the show.